You're listening to an Alchemy podcast.
You've had an exciting and distinguished career in the anime and manga industry. Can you share with us how you ended up here with an otaku's dream job?
How did I end up with this job? I made the job, actually. I've been a fan of anime and manga. Well, mostly anime, since I was a little kid. And I was very fortunate that I just happened to have a lot of situations happen where I was in the right place at the right time. When I was a little kid, I watched the animation that was being produced on the US TV. I was really fortunate. My dad actually knew who Osamu Tezuka was and was able to tell me, well, that stuff that's there, that's Japanese. So I always grew up with the knowledge that certain kinds of animation were coming from Japan. And I was always into animation. When VCRs became available, I started collecting animation and found out that, wow, our system and the Japanese system are the same. And I had some friends who were working at the Rice Media Center, and they had friends who worked on the production of He-Man. And those guys were just becoming huge anime fans because they had production teams in Japan working on He-Man, and they were sending back tapes and tapes and tapes and tapes. And we all started getting together and watching this stuff and going like, oh, this is the early 1980s. This is amazing. And so I became very involved in the embryonic American anime fandom, ended up running the largest club in the Houston area. And Houston is the fourth largest city in the U.S. And because of this, basically ended up meeting everybody who was anybody within the anime community within a couple of years. I had always wanted to see more anime brought over. I saw what had been done. I'd say, gosh, there's so much great stuff going on in Japan, and no one's bringing it over. Wouldn't it be great if someone did it? And I had worked up a business plan and tried showing it to a couple of film companies, and no one really was interested. And then in 91, someone came in. At the time, I was working with a company that was an import-export company, and my job was actually selling things to NASA. So they could buy electronics from Japan, but they couldn't buy them directly for the companies. They had to buy them from an American company. But because it was an import-export company, we were already bringing in things from Japan. It was like, well, gosh, let's bring in more of this Japanese animation. And we were renting and selling it out of the stores. And someone else came and said at one of the anime club meetings, said, hey, there's this other guy in town, and he's got a video game company, and he's really interested in doing what you're doing, and he'd like to talk to you about it. I said, okay. So one day I just went downtown and met this guy, and his name is John Ledford, and he and I started talking. Said, gosh, would it be great if we could do this? Would it be great if we could do that? End of the story, 15 days later, we had a company up and running but licensed our first title. That was just, we were exactly on the same wavelength, and our assets, I had a background in video production and theater. He had the video game company. He already had people in Japan who were buying agents, and he had translators, and it was just like, okay. And just very quickly, we licensed our first title. And at the time, I was thinking, you know, this is kind of a lark. I really didn't expect it to be tremendously successful. I thought if everything went exactly right, maybe we would end up at the point where in a couple of years, we might release a title a month. And wouldn't that be great? That would be fantastic. I had no idea if the company would even last a year, but I quit the job I had and started working for the company full time. We hit the one title a month mark about 9 months in. And by the end of the second year, we were doing 3 to 5 titles a month. And at this point, we said, you know what? I think this has become an industry. And it just, but we literally just built it as we went along because no one was doing it the way we thought it should be done. And we did it.
And the first anime you ever released for this company?
Devil Hunter Yoko. Momono Hunter Yoko.
First anime you've ever seen?
That's one out of Astro Boy. I grew up watching that on the original, when it was originally being run on TV. I'm old.
Favorite anime character or anime of all time?
Okay, now that's a rough one, because it's really... You want character or show or... I mean...
Character and show.
Oh, character and show. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Okay. It's a show that's not particularly well known. It's called Princess Nine. The character is Izumi Himuro, who is the bad girl, sort of villain. Magnificent character. Brilliantly written. It's the show itself, it's a story about a girls' baseball team being formed. But the character arcs in that show were just brilliant. It's a totally, the basic, when you look at the storyline, it's like, guys, this is going to be so cheesy. And you start watching, it's like, wow, this writing is so good. And Izumi is one of the most complex characters ever written because she's supposed to be the bad girl, but you have immediate sympathy for her. And even if she's being evil, you're crying for her. She's just a magnificent character. There's two or three other shows. I mean, I just go on and on. But I mean, you know, I've seen thousands and thousands of shows. It's like saying, what's your favorite movie of all time? I can't tell you my favorite movie of all time. I can break it down to top 20 maybe.
But of the thousands that you've worked on, would you say there was one that you're really, really proud of?
I'm really proud of Princess Nine. It was a show that was really very close to my heart. I'm very proud, obviously, of Evangelion. It's a show that I think has gone on to enjoy the fame that a lot of shows truly deserve. I did the authorized English version of Macross, which became the first part of Robotech, and that was an amazing experience because not only was I going back and doing the show that I watched in the original Japanese before it became Robotech, but we actually brought in the original Japanese actress for one of the characters to do the part in English, which was just an amazing experience to have come completely round loop to be working with someone who did something that was so pivotal in my own life.
Any new titles that you think look promising?
There are a few, but I can only talk about the ones that we've already are doing things with. People who follow what the Anime Network is doing in Japan may have noticed that Anime Network is running High School of the Dead. So yeah, that's a good one. A lot of the others I can't talk about yet because the contracts are not quite solid inked in yet.
So you've done everything from write, produce, direct, and voice for anime, manga, and live action titles. In your opinion, which one of these jobs is the most interesting?
Interesting. Producing is probably the most interesting. Writing is probably the most challenging. Producing means you have to think of everything, so it's a wider thing. It's also a lot more stressful. I really love the challenge of writing English dialogue for anime. I try to be as close to the original as I can. I find that a big challenge, trying to bend the English language into something that's so close and still can be performed by an actor. But it all blends together. There's really no cutoff point here or there. Ultimately, what I really like doing is simply telling a story. And right now I'm working on some original productions that we're doing. We've produced a couple of shows from the ground up already. And I find that absolutely fascinating to do because you're building and creating a universe that hasn't existed before. But
we're really excited about the live action version of Evangelion. Can you tell us more about that?
I cannot tell you anything about that. I have so many NDAs on me about it. It's like, you know, it exists. It's out there. Every time I talk with people, I mean, it's at the point now where there's an outside producer working on it, and we just let him handle it. So periodically I get reports, and I have not been super actively involved with it personally for a while. Back when we were doing the original concept illustrations with Weta, I was on the phone with him constantly working on it, and now it's more a case of they call me and say, well, what do you think of this, what do you think of that, and I'll tell them, but I've got other things going on. But I think it has potential to be an amazing film, and I just hope that the people they've got working on it, I'm really impressed with what they've done, and I can't say anything else because then people would know who's working on it. So,
tell us one secret at least. Will the people playing the characters be Japanese, or is it going to be like other anime titles that were produced in the U.S. live action and have American actors playing the actual Japanese characters, like, let's say, Dragon Ball Evolution?
I can't tell you, because the way the show has to work is the show is about the three kids. How the casting of the three kids is going to come down to who is the best choice for it right now. You know, a couple of years ago, it would have been this group of kids. These days, I can't tell you off the top of my head who I'd pick. I know when we were doing it a couple of years ago, well, it's many years ago when we first started talking about Ano-san, the girl who plays Hermione in Harry Potter. He thought, well, she'd be a great Oscar, but you know, she's in her 20s now, so not going to happen. I think it's pretty much a case of we'll cast Shinji, Rei, and Asuka, and then based upon them, then the nationality of everyone else. If we find someone who's Japanese and or at least believably Japanese to play Shinji, then Gendo would be Japanese. If not, then it rolls around. I mean, I personally don't really care what nationality they are as long as they embody the characters. Yeah, keep in mind that the original characters... They're Japanese in name only for the most part. So
as far as the story goes, because Evangelion is such a big, big story, is there anything that the film is going to concentrate on, given that it only has about 1 to 2 hours to convey the whole story?
Well, again, the final script is not done. Scripts in Hollywood mutate with tremendous... Well, they mutate like angels. They change constantly, so I can't tell exactly. The general feeling has always been that the first movie would encapsulate the first part of the series, basically set up the world, build to a point, and assuming the first movie does well, all the assets and everything be in place to immediately go back in and do a second and third movie to sum it up. But that was the plan a year or two ago. Currently, I can't tell you where they're thinking, if they're thinking of going and trying to do a larger version up front. It changes every time. It really depends upon the creative team that's involved, what availability they have, and where they think they can afford to put the money. The one thing that's really been helping as far as the show goes is what it would have cost to do this show 5 years ago, and now it's dropping exponentially because digital sets and virtual scene technology is dropping through the floor in terms of what it's possible to do. And you can now shoot entire feature films with not even building a set, just shoot people against green screen. And that really makes the films far more practical to do. We're almost at the point now where live action is actually cheaper to do the same thing that animation does. Because once you've actually built it as a CG model, you can just keep popping people into different scenes using that same model. So it's almost there.
So is it fair to say that's where we're headed, that we're going to see a lot more live-action versions of our favorite anime and manga series?
For better or for worse, yes. The fact is, I think everyone kind of agrees that Hollywood's been creatively bankrupt for a number of years, and most of the shows that are coming out that are really exciting are based upon comic books or anime or something that already existed, because the cost of producing a film in Hollywood is now so expensive that they almost need to go in with a pre-sold commodity, even if it's pre-sold to a tiny market. The fact is, they know that if they go in and they can say, oh, it's based upon a hit comic book. If you look at a movie like Men in Black, no one had ever heard of that comic book, but it had a cult market and said, well, it's based on a hit comic book. And obviously the movie did far better than the comic book ever did, but it gives them a base. And I think we're going to see this more and more as just, I would love to see more original stuff coming out of Hollywood, but I think there's a great fear of trying to do stuff that's truly original when there's that safe route. What I'm personally hoping for and what I think is going to happen over the next 10 years or so is that you'll see a lot more independent production being done, building stuff up from the ground up rather than adapting other things, because things that only Hollywood could do 10 years ago, you can now do in your garage. Look at some of the projects that have come around lately. There's some brilliant stuff shows that are being made, and they're being made on shoestring budgets because they're being made by people who just want to make the movie. But digital technology has moved from the point where you had to have, huge facilities with thousands and thousands of computers. Now you can do it on your desktop. And I see no reason why we won't start seeing complete feature films on a scale of things like Star Wars coming out of people's backyards.
So given that this is happening and this is accessible to us now, do you have any advice for the future budding talents who want their anime scripts or, let's say, who want to create manga and become part of the industry someday?
Yeah, make movies. Don't wait to be hired by somebody. Don't wait for that dream job to come along. Make the dream job. We released a film a couple of years ago called Voices of a Distant Star by a fellow named Makoto Shinkai. He had been an animator working in the Japanese system. It was going to take years and years for him to work his way up to becoming a director. So at home, on his own computer using Lightwave, he made a 45-minute short. He and his girlfriend did the original voices, and then when it was done, they had professional voice actors come back in and redub it. But he did the entire thing himself. It sold phenomenally well, enough so that a Japanese studio then stepped in and said, okay, we're going to finance you on your next one. He's on his fourth film, I think, now. They're calling him the new Miyazaki. He did this in the space of a couple of years because he didn't wait for a job to be offered to him. He did it because he wanted to tell a story. He had a story in his head, and he just sat down and did it. The technology is there now. Anyone can do this. If you have the
the stick-to-itiveness to do it, if you have the friends who are willing to help you out, and if you're willing to take the time to learn the technology. It's not hard, and it's getting cheaper all the time.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Pop Asia Podcasts.